on to the Talking Reef podcast. Questions and comments are always welcome. Please send them to podcast@talkingreef.com. And don't forget to visit our website at www.talkingreef.com. Now here's the show. And welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Reef podcast, episode 21. I'd like to start off by saying, asking everybody to stay tuned to after we discuss the topic. I'm going to have some community items to discuss at the end of the show, so if you're interested, stick around for that. This first topic is going to be dedicated to Gwen. Gwen is a Talking Reef member and has been a great supporter of the show. I've recently had the opportunity to talk with her, and I found that she is in a nano tank build-off contest over at thereeftank.com. So here's my contribution to her efforts. I know that she's probably been through a lot of this already, but hopefully it'll still be helpful, and hopefully we can help out all the other people in the process. I know that there are a lot of other people in the community that are looking into doing nano tanks or have questions about them, so we can all gather together in the forums and discuss these open projects and help everybody in the process. So that being said, let's move on to our nano tank discussion. So let's start off with what is a nano tank. Nano tanks are basically miniature versions of a full-blown reef tank. As far as the size is concerned, personally, I consider anything smaller than a 29-gallon tank to be a nano tank. Depending on where you go, what forums or sites or people you're talking to, this may vary from 10 to 20 or 25 gallons. But personally, for me, I say anything smaller than 29 gallons is a nano tank. Now, is a nano tank right for you? Well, many people choose nano tanks because they think that they will be easy and cheap. This couldn't be farther from the truth. Nano tanks are considerable work, and they are more work than a large tank. They require more monitoring and much more attention. Now, that said, you're not going to have to devote your life to a nano tank, but there is much less room for error. In other words, bad things happen real fast in reef tanks. They happen much faster in nano tanks. There's much less room for error. So you have to make sure that you stay on top of your maintenance and you take care of everything that you need to take care of when it needs to be done. There's much less room for slacking off and all that other stuff. Now, regarding the cost of a nano tank may in fact be less than a large tank. However, any reef tank, large or small, is going to be a considerable investment and should be taken seriously. Just because you're looking at a 10, 15, 20-gallon tank doesn't mean that it's going to be cheap and you're going to be able to cut all the corners in the world. It's still going to be considerable effort. It's still going to be considerable amount of work and money, and you really need to take it seriously. One of the biggest things is making sure that everything is planned out very carefully, even more so in a nano tank, because you really have to know exactly what you're going after, and you don't want to waste any money that you don't have to waste. So before I get into the breakdown, I do want to say that nano tanks are by no means impossible to keep. Once you get them set up and stable and going good, they're actually not that hard to take care of. But what I do want to kind of relate to is on the scale between a nano tank and a larger, say a 55-gallon or larger tank, they are a lot more work. You have to be very specific to make sure that you're testing your parameters more frequently, that you are doing your water changes religiously. You have to make sure that you do that because that's a key component in maintaining everything in there. So I don't want to scare anybody off. They are more work, but they're by no means impossible. So now that we've covered all this, are you ready for a nano tank? So here's some information that you might need to know. The initial overall requirements are the same as any reef tank. You're going to need a tank, heater, filtration, lights, inhabitants, all that stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break these down. The tank itself is really up to you. Like I told you earlier, the size of the tank that's considered a nano tank, that's pretty much up to you. Just remember, the smaller it is, the less room you have for error, and the more work that it's probably going to be. Now for heaters, this is a pretty easy one. Get a good, accurate, stable heater. I found that the Evo Jaggers and the Visitherm Stealth heaters to be very good heaters and very accurate. However, I have had some inaccuracies with the glass Visitherm heaters. These are the Marineland Visitherm Deluxe, and they have their glass heaters. In my experience, I've used two of them in the past, and I have found that I've had accuracy issues with them. They have the little dial on the top, and you kind of, or the screw on the top that you adjust to the specific temperature that you want. But I have found that in my tanks, it does not maintain that very accurately. Now, the Ebo Jagger and the Visitherm Stealth heaters, I have found that when I set the temperature, that when I actually check the temperature of the tank with the thermometer, it tends to be quite accurate. So those are my two recommendations there. Now, again, this is only my experience. Not all the Visitherm Deluxe heaters may be that way, but just to let you know, that's what I found. Filters. Now, this is where the conversation is going to get a little bit more interesting. Filtration in a nano tank is similar to that in a reef, in any reef tank, except that water changes are going to play a much larger role. You're still going to need good live rock, live sand, and lots of flow. You'll likely not need to use an external filter, and you may or may not need a skimmer, but this is going to depend on how you stock the tank. The first thing I'm going to talk about is skimmers. This tends to be an area for open for debate. While with large tank, a skimmer, in my opinion, is required. In a small tank, I found from reading information and working here and there, I found that this is tends to be an option. If you keep your bio load light and you keep up on the water changes religiously, skimmers may actually not be needed. It is true that skimmers remove many good things and many bad things. Some good things like trace elements and various different types of plankton will actually be removed by skimming. The trace elements will be replaced with the regular water changes, so it's not as big of a deal. That is, of course, unless you're going to have a really high consumption rate, then you might need some additives to supplement that, or some supplements. The plankton removal, in my opinion, is both good and bad. You really want to remove excess nutrients so they don't decompose and turn into ammonia. But removing too much will potentially starve your tank, since plankton, phytoplankton, zooplankton, these are major invertebrate food sources. Plankton can then be re-added back to the system if needed, and in a small tank, this can be done relatively cheaper, or even more cheaper if you actually culture your own. So, in my personal recommendation at this point would be to start skimmerless, and if you find that one's needed, add it. Now, external filters. Again, there's a good chance that you may not need one. Just like in a large tank, that these external filters can become problematic if they're not maintained properly. And again, no bio wheels, Gwen. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. This means that that you want to stay away from the Eclipse type hoods, the types with the bio wheels and the different types of bio balls and bio media filtration in them. These Eclipse style hoods are really meant for fish only tanks, fish only with live rock, and also for freshwater tanks. They're not really designed for saltwater tanks. The key to keeping proper filtration and keeping a healthy nano tank, just like any other reef tank, honestly, is good quality cured live rock, a good healthy deep sand bed, and lots of current in the tank. This will actually handle most, if not all, of your filtration needs. Okay, and the next thing that I'm going to talk about here is lighting. I know that actually reading through Gwen's thread over at the Reef Tank, there's been a lot of discussion about the various different types of lighting that she should, shouldn't, and this, that, and the other thing use in her nano tank. So I'm going to kind of go into a little bit of detail here, but I want to start off by saying that this really is a touchy subject. So I'm going to start with basically, that there is as many options as there are products and people. Everybody's got their own opinion on what works best here. And what we really have to remember is that everybody's tanks are different. Some things work great for some people, some things work great for others. And those two things may not be the same. One person may have had great experience with brand X and Spectrum X and all that stuff, and another person may say, oh, no, that's not the case. So what you really want to do is try to find somebody that's going to have a similar setup, going to be keeping similar specimens and similar coral and stuff like that as you, and you can kind of base it off that. I'm going to have some links in the show notes that will help people with the decision on the different lightings and stuff like that. There's a lot of things that play into effect, such as coral growth, even just aesthetics, making sure that the actual look of the tank is good. So I'll start off with this. If you're going to be staying with soft coral and stony coral that don't have very high light needs, or even some of the lower light need clams, your best bet is probably to use a good power compact hood. These hoods are low cost, low heat, and will overall do very well on a nano tank if you don't have real high lighting needs. Now, if you're going to be doing a tank with stony coral and clams that have real high light needs, then you're going to need more than just a regular power compact. Just as a large tank, you're going to want to look into a metal halide hood or a pendant. Both of these will work depending on the type of setup that you're looking for. Coral Life actually makes a nice adjustable fixture that attaches to the back of the tank. It's a bit pricey, but if you're not a DIY type, a do-it-yourself type person, it's a good option. There's many other metal halide style fixtures and pendants and stuff available. Head over to the forums if you want to get other people's feedback on their experience and stuff like that with them. Just make a post in there, and I'm sure there's lots of people that will be willing to share their experience. If you have experience with any of these types of products, please feel free to call in and leave a review on the voicemail line, and we can play that on the show for everybody. Now, regarding the bulb brand and color spectrum, and this is really specific to the metal halides and less specific to the power compacts, the best thing here to do is look at what you're keeping again. You really need to plan on what's going to be in your tank and make sure that the lighting that you're going to have is going to be sufficient. Now, here's the key. There is no silver bullet rule that's going to handle everything. The closest thing that I found personally is to have a good 10K bulb with some supplemental actinic lighting. This usually provides the coral with the light they need, the spectrum that they need to maintain good coloration and grow well. Now, there's many other factors that are going to play into the health and coloration of your coral, such as your additive or your trace elements and stuff like that, to make sure your calcium, magnesium, alkalinity, and all that stuff are maintained properly. But from a pure lighting perspective, 10K bulbs with actinic lighting usually works good. As overall, it's going to provide good coloration in the tank from an aesthetic standpoint, and it's also going to provide your coral with what it needs. Now, again, depending on the type of coral you're looking at, you may need a higher or lower spectrum, so you really need to keep that in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is that metal halide bulbs vary. As we've discussed before, they vary in the spectrum. You got 10K or 6500, 10K, 15, 20, and stuff like that, and various spectrum markings in between. But you also have to keep in mind that they do vary from brand to brand. So brand X at 10K may be better or worse than brand Y at 10K. Just because it's the same wattage, the same spectrum, if it's from two different manufacturers, the results may be different. So it's really important to actually do some research and get out and look at what other people's experiences are with these. Now, time to move on to a little bit of a lighter section, the inhabitants for your tank. Now, this is where most people that are investigating a nano tank as an option tend to get a little upset. In a nano tank, your option for fish can be severely limited because there's not a lot of room in there, and the filtration in a nano tank cannot handle a large bio load. So it's very important that if you're going to be doing a reef tank with coral and stuff like that, you really seriously might want to look at doing no fish at all or keeping it limited to one or two very small fish. Many people have a tendency to look at the clown and anemone combo, but anemones tend to be difficult to care for, especially for beginners. They do require full-blown reef environment, so it might not be something that somebody's ready to jump into right off the bat. Other options that you can have are small chromies, other types of damselfish. Firefish are another good option, very cute little fish, something to be aware of if you do look at the firefish, and they are known for carpet diving, so you want to make sure that you have some kind of cover or something over your tank. But personally, my favorite, which I've actually discussed in some recent forum threads, is a shrimp goby and a pistol shrimp. This is a truly interesting couple, and they're very, very entertaining to observe. So if you're not familiar with this, you should check out on the internet and look for some information regarding the shrimp goby and the pistol shrimp. They have a very symbiotic relationship. They'll both live in the same burrow. The goby will provide lookout for the pistol shrimp, and the pistol shrimp will do the cleaning and maintaining and of the whole the little borough that they live in. It's truly, truly remarkable to watch these two at work. So this is my rundown for nanotanks. If you have any questions or comments, or would like to have your two cents added regarding the show, I know I didn't go over every detail in there, trying to keep the show down to a manageable time frame. But I know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff I didn't cover. So if you have any questions or you want to add your information to this, make sure that you call our voicemail line. The number for that's on the website, and will also be in the show notes and everything like that for you. So you can call in there, leave a message, and like always, feel free to send in any feedback that you may have or questions to podcast@talkingreef.com, or as usual, go to the forums and post your questions there. So that wraps up the first topic. So for anybody not interested in any of the community updates, you can stop listening now. You still there? Okay, good. This means that you are interested in the stuff that's been going on the website and the stuff with the Talking Reef podcast in general. Thanks for sticking around. Now, basically what I want to close this episode off with is a couple different things. First of all, I wanted to mention that there is a new poll on the website. The purpose of this poll is I'm kind of interested in doing some interactive shows. Where there was a post on the forum recently that really pushed me over the edge to do this. It's something that I've been an idea that I've been tossing around the last couple weeks, and I really just haven't found the best way to do this. But basically what I want to do is have some kind of interactive show where you as a listener can either call me up during a specific time and we can kind of go over different questions and stuff like that, or we can do some kind of scheduled almost kind of like an interview type thing, where if you have specific questions that you want to talk about or experiences that you want to share, you went through problems with your tank or something that you've learned by trial and error, and it's something that was interesting and you want to share with everybody verbally over the show, then we can set up a short time to do a quick recording. It's really easy. All you need is a phone. Hopefully all of you have that. So that's all you need. And basically, we can do a quick little recording, and we can air that in a show. And if there's enough people interested, then I can make an entire show out of it and release that separately from the main topic shows like this one. So if this is something that you're interested in, please go head over to the forums. My main concern and why I haven't done this recently is because I was concerned that there wouldn't be a lot of listener participation. And I've noticed that the overall feedback the last month or so has been kind of low, and the participation in the forums and stuff like that has been kind of low. Although, moving into my next topic, that has changed. The forums have actually, in the last probably week or so, really picked up pace. There's been a handful of new members, and there's been a lot of people that have been posting their information on there. We've also had a couple members that have jumped in and kind of taken an active role in providing advice and information to people that have questions. So I just want to say thank you to everybody. This is honestly, this is my goal with the whole show and with the website. I really want to build a nice, strong community for everybody to get help with their tanks and learn and share their experiences. I know there's a million of them out there already, but hopefully we can make this kind of unique and special for everybody. So another thing that I wanted to bring up is that there is actually a sale in the buy and sell forum. One of our members has posted in there that he has some coral frags that he's going to be selling. Check out the buy and sell form. It's actually at the bottom of the forums page for all the details if you're interested. It may involve shipping and stuff like that, but if you're local to where this member is, then you might be able to set up some kind of local pickup or something. Anyways, go there, check out all the details. If you have something that you'd like to buy, sell, or trade with other members, that's the forum to post it. Post any information in there. If you're looking to get rid of or to pick up some used equipment or livestock, make sure you post it in there. It's something I'd like to see grow a little bit because I know it can be a great resource. The next thing that I wanted to bring up is something that there's been actually a handful of requests coming in for this, and it's something that I've seen on many other community sites, but not quite in this type of way. Basically, what I've done is I set up a new forum section under the general under the general discussion grouping, I think it is. This forum is actually meant For people to place journals and journal type stuff of your new tank builds, tank modifications, or anything, any type of project that you're going to start undertaking with your tank. What I'm shooting for here is that you kind of like document and photograph your progress as you go along, and post it in here, and we can, provide feedback and have discussion about the stuff that you're doing. And like I said, I've seen this in a lot of other places, but these threads usually start just randomly in some discussion forum that's not really targeted at this. So this is going to be, hopefully everybody picks up on it. I know there's a few people interested in it, so hopefully they jump in and start posting. But I think this will be a good way for newcomers to get a lot of ideas on how to do their tanks. I know it was a great resource for me when I was looking at doing major modifications to my tanks, and seeing what other people did and how they set it up was a great resource. So if you are currently setting up a new tank or looking to do any major changes, please jump over, add some photographs and some commentary to a thread, and hopefully everybody can benefit from that. And the last thing I wanted to remind everybody is if this podcast is helpful to you and you value it in any way, please consider making a donation to the cause to help keep the show up and running, to help support the hosting and the bandwidth and the equipment costs and stuff like that. So I wanted to thank everybody for sticking around with me and listening to me babble on for about another 5 or 6 minutes past the main topic. And don't forget to check out the forums and add your comments there, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.